This morning we talked about Peter and about his weaknesses and strengths and how God continued to use him even though he did have many weaknesses. And tonight we're going to see how God used Peter in relation to the conversion of Cornelius. I'd like to begin by reading in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 11. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So God tells us through Isaiah that his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. And I think by looking at the conversion of Cornelius tonight, we can see clearly that the passage that we read is very true and very clear. Because God orchestrated his conversion, brought various parties together, and used a variety of ways to accomplish it. And we can see that the way that he brought it about was truly God's way and not the ways of man. If you would turn with me in the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. Acts chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said to him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house should be saved. So an angel appeared unto Cornelius and told him that he needed to call for Peter, the same Peter that we were talking about this morning, and that this Peter would then tell him things and tell him the words whereby he would be saved. And Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, we can read about the man, see what kind of a man Cornelius was. We're no doubt familiar with this passage, but I would nevertheless like to read it again. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. So Cornelius was a Gentile, but he was a God-fearing man. He was a praying man. He was a generous man when it came to giving his alms. And he was a devout praying man, as we just read. Now, I don't believe that he was a proselyte. I believe that he believed in God. And very well may have been a proselyte, but he did not know of Christ and did not know about Christ from what we can read in the Scriptures. But before we go further, we need to consider the conversion of Cornelius and why it's so very important. In the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus gives the disciples what we refer to as the Great Commission. Jesus told the disciples to go and teach all nations. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now when the events of the conversion of Cornelius comes about, a substantial amount of time had passed since the day of Pentecost, since the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, the intervening 40 days, and the day of Pentecost. Depending on which commentator you read, it runs anywhere from 3.5 years to about 10 years. But the length of time is really not important to us today or tonight. And I'd like to just make the point that several years had passed and the apostles were still just preaching to the Jews. Of course, there would have been some Gentiles that would have heard, but they were not yet preaching to the Jews. And I think it would be safe to say that prior to Cornelius and the events that we're going to study tonight, the apostles really didn't understand the full scope of the Great Commission. They didn't understand that the Gentiles were to be included. When it said, go and teach all nations, I believe the Jews felt that it was just the Jewish nation, or the apostles felt that it was just the Jewish nation that they would be preaching to, and not really the Gentiles and the people of all the world. God sent His Word forth through His Son, Jesus Christ, and we'll be able to clearly see tonight that God's Word did in truth not return to Him void, but it accomplished that which He wanted it to accomplish. He accomplished it for the apostles, He accomplished it for Cornelius, and then He has accomplished it in our lives today. Now, earlier we read what kind of man Cornelius was. He was a devout man, a religious man that feared God, and he gave a great deal of alms. And it said that he prayed to God always, but he was not saved. So we can see that even though he was a man that probably many people would like to be like, he still lacked one thing. He was not saved. And the angel told him to send to Joppa for a man called Peter, and that man would tell him the word whereby he would be saved. So now we can see that God had sent an angel to talk to Cornelius, had told him that he wasn't saved, but he hadn't done anything to save Peter. Now why did the angel, through God, go ahead and tell Cornelius what needed to be done? Why did he have to wait and send for Peter? Because God does not deal with us through angels. We're not going to have some great revelation when we're doing some other activity. We're not going to have a revelation while we're fishing or while we're in the cornfield. It's going to come from hearing and believing the Word of God and then taking action on our belief and being baptized. So God sent the angel to tell Cornelius simply that he needed to send for Peter. And in connection with the conversion of Cornelius, then we're going to be looking at three miracles. Now, not miracles in the sense that a miracle was when Jesus healed the sick or raised the dead or gave the blind their sight, but miracles in the sense that it's outside the realm of our nature. It's outside the realm of anything that we could possibly do. It was God's work, and thereby, in our life, it was a miracle. And the first miracle was that the angel appeared to Cornelius. God had sent an angel to speak to Cornelius. We're told earlier in the Scriptures that Cornelius' prayers and his alms had come up for remembrance before God, and God sent this angel to speak to him. And remember then, at this time, there was not a written New Testament. There was not, the gospel had not been reduced to writing. All they had was the Old Testament scriptures. They did not have the written gospel. So the purpose then of miracle number one was simply to tell Cornelius what to do to be saved. And that was to send for this man named Peter. And if God had been willing for the gospel to have been conveyed to man in any other way, I would think the events with Cornelius, a devout man, a praying man, a giving man, that this would have been the time that he perhaps would have let it happen some other way. But that was not God's plan. That was not God's way, and that was not the way Cornelius would be converted. Now we'll look briefly at the second miracle, And that miracle is when an angel appears to Peter in Joppa. In Acts chapter 10, verse 9 through 22, we read of Peter's account of the vision he had concerning Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 22. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there was a voice, and there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not common." This was done thrice, and the vessel received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiries for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, "Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send to thee into his house, and to hear words of thee." Now, under the law of Moses, there were certain foods that the Jews could not eat. And some of these meats was within the sheet that had come down from heaven. And when Peter was told to take and eat thereof, he said, "No unclean thing or common food had ever passed his mouth, but God told him through the angel that what I cleanse is not common and is not unclean, take and eat." So at this very moment, Peter was considering the vision he'd had and trying to determine what it meant when the men from Cornelius came to take him to his house. So he was trying to figure out what it meant when they came to get him. He took six Jewish brothers with him to be witnesses, I would assume. And when they arrived at the house of Cornelius, Cornelius told him about his own vision, that the angel had told him to send for Peter, and that Peter would tell him words whereby he and all his household would be saved. So now we've seen the second miracle. The angel visited Peter, told him to go see Cornelius, and Cornelius is still not saved. So we've had two miracles, and Cornelius is still in an unsaved condition. In Acts chapter 11, verses 13 through 16, we read about the third miracle. And in these verses, Peter is talking to Cornelius and the people that were with him, because Cornelius had brought his whole household and close kin people and near friends. Whatever these words were that he was going to hear that would save him, he wanted all of his friends, all of his household, all of his kin folks, he wanted everybody to be there with him so that they might also be saved. He wanted them all to be saved, and that tells us in itself a good bit about Cornelius. Acts chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he had said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now Peter said, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on me. Then in Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 46, we can get just a little bit more detail about what happened at that time. Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 46. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now the Jewish brethren that Peter brought with them were all astonished, because these Gentiles were doing exactly the same thing that had happened on the day of Pentecost when the apostles had received the Holy Ghost. They were speaking in tongues. They were speaking in the different languages of the people that heard them. And at this very time, Peter understood his vision. He understood the Great Commission. He understood what God expected of him and of the other apostles. And he understood that he needed to be teaching to all the Gentiles and not just the Jews. So now God's word had come. God's word is going back. It's not void, because the things that he had set into motion, the things that he wanted to accomplish, is now going to be accomplished, because Peter understands that he needs to be talking to all the world, all the nations, and not just to the Jews. But now we see that the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius. And Cornelius is still not saved. Three miracles, three angels, or two angels and the Holy Spirit, and Cornelius is still not saved. The purpose of this miracle was simply to convince the Jews that they needed to be teaching to the Gentiles. They needed to be preaching to the Gentiles. And later in Acts chapter 11, we see that Peter, in defending himself before the church, defending himself before the Jewish brethren for preaching to the Gentiles, and he brings all this to their attention, and they realize and accept the things that Peter tells them, and now the Great Commission is ready to be expanded and to accomplish that which God intended all the time. So God's word indeed did not come or return to him void. So now we've seen the purpose of all three of the miracles. Purpose of the first miracle was simply to point Cornelius in the right direction, to tell him that there's something he needs to be saved, and that he needed to call Peter. He needed to send for Peter. The purpose of the second miracle was to show Simon Peter that he should go and preach to the Gentiles, that whatsoever God had cleansed, including the Gentiles, was not common, and that Peter needed to be preaching to them. And the purpose of the third miracle was to send the Holy Ghost unto them so that they could speak in tongues, convincing the Jews that they also should be members and part of the church that Christ built and should receive the preaching of the gospel. Now all these things have been taking place, and Cornelius is still not saved. The angel had told Cornelius that Peter would tell him words whereby thou and all thy household shall be saved. So then, what was the word that Peter ultimately told Cornelius and his household? Peter, plain and simple, preached Christ. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He preached his death, burial, and his resurrection. He preached the same gospel that we hear today. He preached the same gospel that this morning that every church of Christ heard, that had worship this morning. He preached the need for baptism. He preached the need for the baptism of Cornelius and his family. So Peter now had told Cornelius the word whereby he and his household would be saved. And these were words for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hearing the word, believing the word, being baptized, rise to walk in newness of life for the remission of sins. In Acts chapter 10, verses 47 and 48, we read about the final act of the conversion of Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, verses 47 through 48. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So now finally, Cornelius and his household had heard the words that the angel had told Cornelius that Peter had. They heard them, they believed, they were baptized, and now Cornelius was saved. Cornelius and all of his household. He was not saved by the angel of the Lord. He was not saved by the Holy Spirit. He was saved by the words that Peter spoke, which was the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. His death, burial, his resurrection, and the need, the absolute essential need of being baptized. He was saved in the very same manner that each one here tonight that's been baptized was saved. And the only way to be saved. So Cornelius, even though he was a righteous man, he had something he needed to be to do in his life. And God chose him to be the vehicle by which the apostles would come to an understanding of God's great commission, or the great commission that Jesus Christ gave the disciples. They used him. And the same Peter that we talked about this morning, and all his weaknesses and all his strengths, he was the one that God had planned all the time to use to preach to Cornelius and to understand the Great Commission and to explain it to all the other Jews and to the church. So Jesus Christ is the Savior of all that are saved, and he knows exactly what a man must do to be saved. He simply says, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. The Lord made no exception. Salvation consists of doing. Doing that which is commanded. And not simply hearing, but hearing, believing, and being baptized. If morality had been sufficient for Cornelius to have been saved, then there would have been no need for the death of Christ. It would have been in vain. There would have been no need for his shed blood. But instead, even a moral, devout, praying, giving man such as Cornelius needed the shed blood of Christ. God made it so simple. Hear the word, believe the word, confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and to be baptized for the remission of sins. If there's anyone here tonight who's needs or wants the prayer and service of the church to make that confession of faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and to be baptized, come forward as we sing our songs of invitation.